Okay, this is the first edition of the podcast Outtakes. This is a recording that will not be featured on one of my podcasts. I'm just recording it specially for the audience that subscribes to the emails. Again, we're not going to edit it. It's going to be raw. If there's noise in the background, I'm just going to leave it all in because this is the outtakes. This is the raw, the unedited, anything goes in this particular edition of the podcast outtakes. This week is Parshas Vayera, and there's so much going on in this Parsha. But the thing I wanted to talk about in this outtake is the entire episode of Sodom and what happened to Lot and his family, and in particular the fact that Lot's wife turned around and she witnessed what happened to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And even though she was warned ahead of time not to do that, the angels was very clear. I'm deliberately trying to mess up so that way you know it's not unedited. It's unedited. This is real. There's no editing. There's people in the background. There's noise in the background. I just heard a siren. It's all raw. It's all raw. So you know. So the angels tell Lot and his family, don't turn around. Don't look. If you turn around, it's going to be devastating and disastrous for you. See, there's a truck that just went right next to the Torah Center. If this was something that I edited and polished, I'd wait for the truck to leave and cut out that audio. But no, this is the outtake. So the angels tell Lot and his family, don't turn around. If you turn around, you're going to be destroyed. And Lot and his family being hustled away by the angels, and Lot's wife turns around, and she turns into a pillar of salt. So a few questions. First of all, why mustn't she turn around, or they turn around? Why is it so imperative? Why it's so important? They don't look, and if they do look, they get destroyed. So the simple answer is that they were not so righteous. They were people that really, under normal circumstances, should have gone down with the entire city. They were saved because of Abraham's merit, Abraham's prayer, Abraham's intervention. But really, they should have belonged with the rest of their compatriots in the downfall of the city. And there's a principle that when you yourself really should be going down, but you're being saved because of something else, something extra, so to speak, you are not allowed to witness. You're not allowed to ogle at the downfall of the wicked. Similarly, there's a debate as to whether or not Noah in the ark, did he have a window or not? And the commentaries explain, according to the opinion that say that there was no window, the reason why there was no window is because Noah was not allowed to witness in the downfall. Noah and his family, that is. We're not allowed to witness in the downfall of their people because really, they weren't completely righteous themselves. That is the common understanding as to why Lot and his family were not allowed to turn around and look at the downfall of Sodom. But this year, I saw in the Kabbalistic literature something really interesting. It says that the sins of a person are emblazoned on their forehead. And whenever there is angels that are being unleashed to go destroy something, if they see the forehead of the wicked, they're able to kind of figure out all their sins, and they pounce and they attack them. And therefore, Lot's wife, she was a wicked woman. And she turned around, and the angels, the demons, the destructive angels that were destroying the city saw her, and they saw her misdeeds emblazoned on her forehead. And consequently, they went and they grabbed her and turned her into a pillar of salt. Really interesting. And that explains, there's a few teachings in the Talmud that this would explain, but also Cain. Cain is worried he's going to be killed, and God makes a mark on his forehead that prevents anyone from attacking him. That is the place where, so to speak, people's vulnerabilities are spiritually visible to angels, and therefore Cain was protected by having that coated over by the Almighty, whatever that means. There's an interesting teaching in the Talmud, the book of Shabbos, page 55a, that is germane to the subject. Give it a look. Now, Lot's wife turns into a pillar of salt. So first of all, I speculated, maybe we could say that the word sodium somehow gets its roots from the word Sodom or Sodom or Sodom. Is that where it comes from? We know salt has sodium in it. Maybe that is the reason. Now, interestingly, the largest salty water lake in the world is the Dead Sea. which is situated right where we understand Sodom and Gomorrah to have been. So I would imagine if Lot's wife, she was destroyed with salt, you may perhaps speculate that the fact that there's so much salt in that particular location, more than any other place in the world, maybe that's because there was that particular kind of punishment that was dispensed not only to Lot's wife, but to other people who were there as well. Now, why did Lot's wife turn into a pillar of salt, of all things? So Rashi says that she was punished with the same behavior that she exhibited. She was someone who resisted giving food to the passerby, to the guests. But Lot, of course, was influenced by Abraham, and he wanted to be more hospitable. So what did he do? He would give them food. But not only that, he would give them food and allow them to embellish it and make it tasty and give them some spices and some salt. And that really threw his wife into a tizzy. Not only are you giving food to the passerby, not only being generous with our guests, you're being hospitable, but you're also giving them salt. That was unconscionable. And therefore, because she had her witnesses displayed in salt, when she was punished, she was turned into salt herself. That is what Rashi says. But I was schmoozing with some of my friends, and my friend David, he speculated an interesting idea. I figured we'd share it on this podcast outtake. He pointed out that salt, it's a substance that really is all about balance. We know that salt is a preservative. You put salt in something, you could keep, let's say, meat from spoiling, etc. But too much salt actually has the opposite effect, that it destroys. You know, if you want to stop the ground from producing, you pour salt on the ground, it's going to stop producing. Salt is also a flavor enhancer, if you will. But if you have too much salt, well, then it makes it inedible. Salt is a necessary substance. It's a necessary nutrient. You don't have salt at all, you're going to die. But too much of it, you'll get high blood pressure, and it's unhealthy. So salt is something we have to balance. You have to have a little bit, but not too much. Maybe we could speculate that the city of Sodom was imbalanced. The core idea that led to their being ingracious, being not generous, being very hostile to guests, the core idea was actually a good idea. But they took it to the extreme. It wasn't properly balanced. The Mishnah tells us that there's four kinds of people. There are people who are very righteous. They're called generous people. And they say, what's mine is yours, what's yours is yours. They're willing to give up for other people. And they have the people who are a little bit crazy. Those are the people who say, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. It's just a big hodgepodge mess. And then you have the wicked people. They say, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. They're the ones who steal from other people. And finally, you have the people of Sodom. And they say, what's mine is mine, and what is yours. This is the characteristic of Sodom. The reason why Sodom was so hostile to guests, the reason why they didn't have any charity, is because they believed that what I have is mine, and it's not anyone else's, and what you have is yours, and it's not anyone else's. And therefore, if you're poor, I'm not going to help you, because you're poor for a reason, and you have to remain poor. And therefore, perhaps we could speculate that there is something quite important, necessary, noble about the people of Sodom. They believed in property rights. They believed in law and order. They believed that people's stuff is theirs. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. They believed in a principle that is necessary, that is paramount for a functioning society. But the problem is, it wasn't balanced. They took it to the extreme. They said, if you give charity, that's immoral. That's wrong. That's corrupt. What's yours is yours. What's mine is mine. Never shall the two cross. And that was their mistake. Their mistake is they didn't realize that a good thing, it's kind of like salt. Some things, of course, are fantastic. You know, you can never have too much Torah. It's always great. But some things are needed. Society-wide, you have to have property rights, you have to have law and order, you have to have people knowing that what's theirs is theirs. But if you take it to this extreme, If you take it and say there's something immoral about charity, about hospitality, then you take it to extreme and kind of like salt. Too much of a good thing is indeed destructive. And therefore, it's fitting for the people of Sodom and the wife of Lot to turn into salt, because that indeed personifies what was so wrong with those people. So that's some quick podcast outtakes, a special version of podcast outtakes for the email. If you liked it, send me an email, rabbi@gmail.com. I hope you are enjoying the email newsletter, and I look forward to chatting with y'all sometime soon.